If you are new today, though, I want to welcome you either online or in person. I am Bert, and I've been the pastor here for a whopping 2 weeks. Yeah. So if you're new, I hope you'll decide to come along with us as we start this new journey together as a church family. You know, last week we started to look at the fundamentals of what it means to be a good and healthy church family. We used the acrostic DEVON as a template, right? The D referred to us being disciples who make disciples. The E pointed to how our worship is meant to be expressive, experiential, and empowering. The V identified that our service towards others should be valid and effective. In other words, it should make sense, right? The O showed that the church should provide some objective biblical education for folks. And the N highlighted the fact that healthy churches operate through natural and nurturing relationships. Now today, we're going to start to look through each of those points individually over the next 5 weeks. We're going to break them down a bit to understand them better and learn how to actually apply them within our own lives and context. And in order to do that, we're going to look at Jesus' final words and mission, which we focused on last week. He gave this to his followers both then and now. It was recorded by one of his original followers named Matthew. He said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." This is what Bible scholars call the Great Commission, right? It not only emphasizes the act of going, but also the importance of establishing new followers while embracing all people. As I already mentioned, we're going to take a deep dive into the statement by Jesus over the next 5 weeks. But today we're homing in on the first line, which emphasizes the fact that the mission Jesus gave to us as his followers is to make more followers for him. Look at it again. Go and make followers of all people in the world, says in the New Century Version. There are three things I'm going to focus on from this sentence because I'm a pastor and we do everything in threes. Except when the Spirit hits us and all of a sudden we've got a fourth point, which really messes me up. But these three things can either make or break a church, depending on whether they choose to obey or omit each point. But as you'll see from our first point, omission really is not an option for the true follower of Jesus because he said that his church must be emphatic in going. Must be emphatic in going. You know, I have to confess that after I wrote this already and I'd already passed it on to Cole and Mary so you could have notes and PowerPoint and all of that, I thought, okay, I really messed up. We're supposed to be following this acrostic, right? These should all be starting with D. So, for those in this room who are really, that bugs you, just put in the word determined, okay? You are determined in going, all right? And that should help alleviate any OCD in the room. Now, back to our first point. You'll notice that there is actually no preface to Jesus' words here. He simply says, go. That means what follows is not optional. The church was never meant to hide out and hang out. We're commanded to get out and get on with fulfilling our mission. In fact, there's a story Jesus once told that pointed to the imperativeness of his mission. It was recorded by the early church historian named Luke. It was about a man putting on a wedding banquet. The problem was that some people were invited, but never showed up. So the man called his servant, gave him this emphatic directive: go out to the roads and country lanes and urge the people there to come so my house will be full. With these words, Jesus sets, I believe, a precedent that going is not a mere suggestion. It is an imperative, a call to action. It requires us to step out of our preferred routines and even our comfort zones to become aware of and actively engage with the people around us. People who may not yet know who Jesus is or what he's done for them. As followers of Jesus, then, we must be emphatic and determined in our commitment to reaching out and genuinely caring for those we encounter on our journey of life and faith. But as we see from Jesus' words in this story, the purpose of our going is to invite people into this amazing life that we have experienced by following Jesus. Unfortunately, I found that churches often tend to emphasize one or the other. Some churches only go. They go out into the world, tell people Jesus, but they never invite them into the church or into their lives. Or they only gather together and wonder why no one is coming. Doing only one or the other is not healthy for either of those churches, nor the communities they're trying to reach. You know, one of the arguments I've heard from the second group is, but Pastor Bert, haven't you read that unless the Holy Spirit draws people, all our labors are in vain? So we're just going to sit here and pray that God will actually go and do his job. And they're partly right. Yes, it's true that only God's Spirit can draw people to Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Where does his Spirit reside on the earth today? In his followers, right? Yes, God is omnipresent. If you've been in the church long enough, you read the Bible, you know that, right? God is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at once. But God has chosen to work through his church to reach people. So the primary way that people are going to interact with the Holy Spirit so he can draw them is through you and me. When Jesus' followers interact with them. In his history of the early church called the Book of Acts, Luke records Jesus saying to those first followers, you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. We're those ends of the earth people right now, right? Folks, the Holy Spirit did not fill the church so we can have a glory time together while people outside are dying and heading for destruction. Jesus sent us his Spirit to empower us to accomplish the mission he gave us. And yes, prayer is a vital component to our outreach efforts, but it is not a replacement for them. Matthew recorded Jesus telling them, his earliest followers, to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Anybody remember that story? Pray to the Lord of the harvest. But it wasn't because they were supposed to just pray and do nothing. No, their prayer was for God to provide even more workers, more followers who could help them. Listen to his words. Pray to the Lord who owns the harvest that he will send more workers to gather his harvest. Does anybody like doing all the work themselves? No, none of us like to do that, right? Jesus understands that. And he says, Pray for more. Get out there. Get more. Make more. You see it in there? It says both pray and work. Go and invite. It's not one or the other. It's not either or. It's both and, right? And when we're obedient and faithful to going, then we will be able to accomplish our second point, which is to establish new followers. Now, you D people can write down the word develop there, okay? Develop new followers. Establishing, developing new followers for Jesus. It's not only about telling them who Jesus is and what he's done for them. It's about showing them how following Jesus can actually make a difference in their lives. Right? Now, it's about showing them how following him can actually transform their lives. How? By looking at ours. By being an example of what Jesus has done in our lives. How he's changed you and me. The early church leader named Paul developed more new followers and established new churches than probably any other person in his time. And in one of the letters he had written to the church that he actually started in Corinth, Greece, he tells us his strategy. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So this begs the question, for me anyways, do people see a difference in the way you live and behave? And how you handle stressful or maybe fearful situations? Do they feel God's peace when they're with you? Or are you the one that's stressing them out? Are people drawn to actually follow you because they see something in you that they want in their lives? This seems to be Paul's way of doing it. Show and tell, or maybe the other way around. Tell them about Jesus, show them how real he is in your life. You know, people are more likely to follow Jesus when they see his reflection in our actions, our attitudes, and our relationships with one another. When we're truly following Jesus, we become living testimonies of God's love and grace, inspiring others to join us in following him. Thing is, folks, people today are becoming increasingly skeptical of what they're being told, right? Yes, there's always those few that will drink the Kool-Aid, but more and more people are questioning and demanding proof for what they're hearing. So just telling them about Jesus probably won't cut it. They want to see proof in your life. And Jesus said that how we relate to each other will be that proof. This was recorded by Jesus' closest friend and follower named John. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will what? Prove, yeah, to the world that you are my followers. Folks, if you're a loving, patient, gracious person, then Jesus says that's all the proof you need. And if you are that person, people will take notice. They'll actually like hanging around with you, right? Because nobody wants to be around somebody who's a grump all the time, right? If you're loving, patient, gracious with people, they're going to like you. But if you're not, maybe it's time to let Jesus change your heart. Because the proof is in the pudding, as they used to say. In fact, Jesus said it another way in Matthew 7:18. He said, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. John recorded Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Good fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, the good fruit that only Jesus can produce in our lives is to have that loving heart towards people around you, especially those who are different than you, maybe even hostile towards you. When you love and accept people as those that Jesus loves and died for, it proves that he is within you. And that proof has the power to soften their hardened heart and draw them to Jesus. Which leads us to our final point, that like Jesus, we need to embrace all people. Yes, I know you D people, you're waiting, right? I just put down desire to reach everyone, or desire to reach all people, whichever you like. Trying to be all things to all folks here, okay? The E people and the D people. But you know what? I've found when you say things like this, some people balk at that point because they think it means condoning the bad things that some people do. But if you're a follower of Jesus, then this is actually what he said his followers must do. What do I mean by that? Well, the American Heritage Dictionary defines condone as to overlook, forgive, or disregard an offense. I like that definition. Jesus said, if you do not forgive others their offenses, neither will your Father forgive you. Ouch. You read that before? I don't like that. But guess what? God doesn't care about whether I like it or not. If I'm unwilling to forgive what people do against me, then I can't expect God's forgiveness. Because the fact that God has forgiven me such a huge debt of sin that was in my life should cause me to overflow with gratitude and extend the same grace and forgiveness that I've experienced to those who sin against me. Is it easy? No. Do we need to do it? Yes. You know, really, this goes back to what we looked at earlier, about reflecting Jesus' love and grace to people, right? These things prove that we are truly following him and have been transformed by his love and grace in our own lives. And the reality is that Jesus laid down his life for every single person on the planet. Most famous statement in the Bible, John 3:16, right? God loved the people of this world so much, he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. I love that translation. God's love knows no boundaries, folks, no limitations. Therefore, our mission as his followers extends to all people, regardless of their culture, their circumstances, or their choices. Just as God embraced the entire world with his love, we are called to embrace all people with the transformative message of his love for them. A love so unconditional that it's even offered to those we might consider to be the worst of the worst of the worst. Of course, that doesn't mean that everyone will accept God's gracious offer to them. No, because God's love is unconditional and true. He doesn't force anyone to accept his love. He loves them enough to let them choose. That's why John 3:16 says, everyone who has faith in him, or whosoever believes in him, as some translations say. Because not all will put their faith in him, even though his love is offered to all. How about you? Here or watching online today, have you heard enough to accept the truth of God's love for you and put your faith in him? I hope so. More importantly, my hope, especially as a pastor, is that maybe you've been able to see the proof of God's love in the life of somebody you know, hopefully somebody in this room. And that is what convinced you that you need to follow Jesus too. Either way, that's what you'd like to do today. I'm going to help you by leading you in a short prayer, expressing your desire to put your faith in Jesus, give him your life. And as we all bow our heads together at this time, you can just pray along silently with me, and God will hear your prayer. He'll forgive your offenses and accept you into his forever family. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I'm sorry for doing my own thing and ignoring you and your best for me. Thank you for showing how much you love me by coming and dying for me. Jesus, I ask for your forgiveness and help in living for you from now on. I ask you to be the leader of my life today and forever. Please help me to do my part within your church to be emphatic in going, helping to establish new followers and embracing all the people you bring into my life so that they too can put their faith in you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus, my Savior and my God. Amen. Ask the band to come back before we finish with another song. If you did pray that prayer for the first time, either online or here, would you please, if you're here, come see me. Obviously, you're online, you can't come see me. But if you could come see me right afterwards. But if you're online or just want to fill in one of those Connect cards that were mentioned earlier, that would be great. We've got some resources. I have resources I'd love to share with you and just contact you and see if there's any other needs you have that we can help with. All right. With that, I'm going to turn it back to Miranda.